The following segment is a paid commercial program by Christensen PLLP. It's time for Ask the Expert on News Talk 1340 KWLM.
And we welcome Joel Gratz of Christensen PLLP, a partner back in our studios. Joel, and it's been, I'm sure, a frantic season for you in more ways than one, but this tax preparation this year, a little extra challenging, it sounds like, from what I've been hearing.
Yeah, Bill, it's if I could be brutally honest, it's probably been more complicated than what we gave it, you know, credence to. And on all our trainings we did, and the government shutdown, you know, really slowed down some of the forms to get those finalized. And, of course, once they came out of that and got things finalized, then the software companies have to keep up, the tax software companies, mm-hmm. as far as what we rely upon. So it's been a real sluggish start, and something that we may never get caught up on is this. We're probably 7 to 10 days behind what we normally are, and we anticipated that we would be, you know, it would take longer to do returns and such, but we're probably looking at about a third or 30% to 40% increase in time, mm-hmm. to try to get these things to work right. And there's a lot of things that add to that, but it's been quite a challenge, absolutely.
If, in fact, some of your clients have been entitled to refund, are those coming fairly quickly then, or are they having to wait for those as well?
You know, I think they got caught up now. I think starting in that late January, early February, they were delayed to some degree. I think they have gotten that kind of squared up. Honestly, a lot of my clients that I work with in February, you know, generally are going to be people who do owe some mm-hmm. of my business owners, you know, so they maybe aren't seeing the refunds, of course, as would have been expected, but we're getting into more of the refund season now, I guess, where people are coming in and getting that stuff done.
Mm-hmm. And as far as individuals, you know, that aren't business clients, then kind of the word I'm hearing is that maybe they're having to pay in a little extra to federal, but might be getting a little refund from the state. Have you finding that at all, or is that just way too general of a blanket phrase?
No, that's a great thing, and I've had a lot of my clients who generally get refunds and expect refunds, and let's say they're, you know, a W-2 person or heavier, and they maybe have a smaller business on the side, or one of the spouses has a significant W-2. They get their tax return, and the refund is considerably less. And the first question is, how can that be? I was, quote, promised, or I thought we were going to have a lot more refund coming my way. And for the folks who are earning W-2s, it's really interesting because that the W-2 withholding tables changed, I'd say February, March, you know, a year ago about this time. So some of that savings, if you will, is coming every 2 weeks in their paycheck, which isn't very noticeable when it's on a per check basis.
Yep.
So the point of everybody's, and that's a great lead in, you know, for people to have the expectation that I should be getting a larger refund is probably not going to be the case. And that doesn't mean you got ripped off either. It's just the fact that you had that
a little less withheld during the year, right?
So it's not nearly as noticeable as what people were hoping. Yeah. You know, and they're like, oh, man, this is going to be great. I'm going to save up for this or that, or this toy or that vacation. And it just, we haven't seen that mm-hmm. in a lot of people. Now, if you're a person that is a business owner, as I mentioned, that maybe historically has paid a little in over the years because of planning, I have seen, like, especially my farmer group where they do some depreciation things and whatnot, they have been paying 3 to 4 times more Minnesota tax mm-hmm. than federal. And that happened about 5-6 years ago when they had the big change on the depreciation where they weren't recognizing the federal depreciation anymore. And honestly, the non-conformity issues mm-hmm. for business owners is a complete, it's creating so much more time and hassle than what I think it's worth, and I wish they would have conformed.
Yeah, and I remember people predicted that last year. If the legislature accomplished nothing else, at least take that issue up and get it squared away, because I think they were foreseeing some real headaches otherwise.
And it really is a headache, and it takes so much more time to do that Minnesota return, and when it shouldn't have to. And we're honestly, as preparers super frustrated with that. It used to be a 3-4 page tax return. Now it's getting closer to 12 pages because there's so many things and these little nuances that since they didn't conform, you got to keep track of this this year, and it's going to be a carry forward schedule to next. And this is going to be an ongoing thing for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I have to pass my time on to my clients, and they've been concerned with some of the fees. And literally, we're doing as fast as we can. And unfortunately, the software companies, they focus on the federal.
Mm-hmm.
And the states are usually kind of, well, it just kind of falls into place. Every tax software company I know from other CPA firms and other people in the business, the Minnesota, they've completely foobarred. They have no concept of how Minnesota is supposed to be working, and we're overriding things, and it's been a real pain in the you-know-what, Bill, mm-hmm. to try to get these Minnesota things figured out. And we think it should be one way as far as how we were trained, and then we look over and the forms are doing another and the software is doing a third thing. And it's been a real complex and convoluted season in that regard. And our firm is trying to be patient with our software. Our firm is trying to maintain quality. And with that, we were asking of patience of our clients that, hey, guys, we want to do this right. We don't want to just ram it through, so please be patient with us. And so we appreciate all our clients who are understanding of the situation and knowing that nothing is easy anymore. Not that it was, but boy, it's probably 2 and 3 times more difficult than it has been in the past.
Before electronic filing became the norm, and this software that you talk about, there wasn't always such a thing as software. I mean, you filled out a paper form,
yeah,
and you had the instructions on how to do it, but there really wasn't software, was there? I mean, maybe I don't know if I'm thinking too far back, but it seemed to me that they had to consult a manual, maybe call somebody at an 800 number, but I don't recall being able to just plug numbers in like you guys do now. And
and without software,
yeah,
I don't know how we would be able to do it now.
Yeah, now it'd be impossible. But I mean, I'm just saying, yeah. It wasn't always that wasn't the
that was not the norm. I agree, and I think some of the bigger firms who could afford to spread that very expensive software cost out were doing it in using software. Since in my lifetime, I've always had software.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you that since you've been doing it, if it was always that way. But
again, I've been around for, it's already been almost 28, 30 years already.
Okay.
But I don't know when that really came to be the norm. Mm-hmm. But I'm guessing probably mid 80s is where that probably really came out, where it became more cost effective for everybody to try to tackle that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before the internet and the turbo taxes and all that stuff.
Right.
So I mean, it's been quite a challenge in how things have migrated to it. Like you said, it's the norm, and without it, Bill, I can't imagine. You'd have to have 3 times as many CPA firms.
Well, and I would think the IRS would have to hire a whole lot more people, too, to review.
To track it.
To review the actual returns.
Yeah.
Now so much of it is, basically on computer, and, the numbers are there. And as you're filling it out, right, I mean, you kind of get notified right away if something doesn't, jibe, so to speak.
Some of the basic things with ID numbers and dependents and all that is an automatic kickback. Mm-hmm. And there are what we call e-file errors that are automatic that we need to make sure we fix before we can send it. So that's a nice thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. When we e-file it and send it, it goes into a database and it makes the data mining much more easy to do than if it was all just paper files or people mailing them in, It's also more secure, to do it via e-file, so that's a positive in today's world of losing your identity and getting refunds stolen.
Right.
Which still upsets me beyond belief that people do that, but it happens more often than what you could possibly imagine, and it creates headaches for the people who are trying to get the refund. And normally they do get the refund back, but it takes months and it takes paperwork and to prove yourself. And
well, that's the thing, you might have to actually get a whole bunch of other things redone, whether from credit cards to licenses, and that's another whole thing when it comes to software. With the licensing bureau, we're hearing they're plugging more money into that again, and they still haven't really got that that system, I don't think, working the way it's supposed to work. So
no,
it's going to be very interesting. But, you know, it's okay to be outstanding, I guess, as a state, or to be unique. But in some of these things, you know, it you really don't want to be that, you know, that sore thumb, so to speak. You know, it just doesn't. It doesn't benefit anyone, really, that I can see. I mean, maybe the coffers, they take in a few more dollars by not conforming, but I just think there's so few states that really didn't conform, right?
Yeah, we're in the minority. I would say we're the minority for whatever reason, which is unfortunate. And I think it was more of a political game at the end of the day.
Yeah, it just seems like it.
When Governor Dayton at the time vetoed it for other things, not because he didn't agree with it. It's the other things that were attached to it that didn't happen. But that's unfortunate. You know, one of the interesting things that we've seen, you know, the standard deduction on the federal side, we've talked, is so much higher now, $24,000 married filing joint, $12,000 single. And we weren't really sure how, you know, and with that, there's a state or a cap on your state taxes and real estate taxes on your personal that you can deduct at $10,000.
Right. Okay.
And we knew that would impact our business owners, which it has dramatically as far as a tax cost to them because of that. Many of our, you know, very expensive state tax that we have, many of my business owners were deducting, you know, their and itemizing their state taxes. Well, now with the cap, I bet you we're only seeing so far maybe 1 or 2% that are actually using the itemized deductions on the federal side, and that's only because they're extraordinary philanthropic givers. You know, that's really become the next play. Even mortgage interest isn't enough anymore, you know, to really do it when you lose your state tax side to some degree. So that's been an interesting takeaway. Now, the unusual part, back to nonconformity, we still have probably about a third, you know, 40% that are itemizing for Minnesota, which goes back to this complicated deal of you still got to keep track of all that. And I've had a lot of my clients say, I really didn't think I had to bring all this stuff in. And I said, well, it's still going to be worth it to you at this point to do it for Minnesota. So for the listeners out there, if we could, you know, still bring in all of your stuff that you normally would, that's what we're telling our clients, because I can't, there's so many new changes to it that I just can't off the, you know, bottom of a bar napkin figure it out anymore. So I tell my clients to bring your stuff in, because more than likely, if you've been itemizing, you know, in the past, you might be, and more than likely will be, for Minnesota. Now, again, for Minnesota, you can't deduct your state taxes at all. And that's always been the case in Minnesota. So that still is a non-issue, if you will, for Minnesota. But you still get the other things, the real estate taxes and all these things that might add up enough. But you still have to go through the calculation, Bill, and you still got to go through all the hassle.
But if you have, say, a significant medical bill, wouldn't that still, it's a percentage of it, but wouldn't that help?
It has to be 7.5% greater than your adjusted gross income before you even start deducting dollar one. So if you have $100,000 married filing joint, you got to get to $7,500 of medical before $1 is deducted.
I see.
So it does have to be extraordinary. In the world today, I have a lot of health savings accounts where people are putting a cap on about, you know, anywhere from 6 to 7, you got to have a really low, you know, adjusted gross income, which can happen if, you know, if you're a producer at a tough year or a business owner at a tough year, it's possible that you will use medical, but it's very rare, very rare, which is unfortunate. Yeah. And again, it makes the health savings account a very powerful tool to bring that to page one, which is still a deduction on page one, meaning lowering your adjusted gross income. So if you know you're going to be spending $5,000-$6,000 a year, if you got the kids, you got the braces, you got the eyes, whatever, you should really do that. And that's something that I've been stressing to my people, that the itemized deductions is a non-issue now, and we got to move as much as we can off the itemized deduction page to page one if we can. And that's a very, very logical one to do.
So that is the actual expenses then that you incurred that isn't like money that was put away for the...
A health savings account is unique in that you can put money in and you actually get the deduction on your contribution.
Okay.
Whether you have a medical expense or not. So if I put in $7,000... but I've only spent $1,000 on true medical, I still get the $7,000 deduction, and that money carries over. And it's a not, you know, it's not use it or lose it. And many, many people were used to the old flexing days where the cafeteria plans where you put $6,000 in. If you don't spend $6,000, you lose it.
Right.
Which was devastating for a lot of people. So very flexible with the HSA, a very powerful tax tool, very flexible tool. It can grow tax-free. And down the road, you can use it for when you retire for Medicare supplements. You know, so there's a lot of things that can be done with it. So it's still a very powerful tool, and I'm so glad they still have it on the books.
Yeah. Now, is that strictly if you were offered that through an employer, or can you as an individual purchase?
Great question. You can do it both ways. Okay. If your employer offers it and they contribute as an employer to your HSA, and you put in the other half or whatever, you get a deduction there. It could be taken out pre-tax out of your W-2, so you are getting the deduction then. Or, you know, as many business owners, they just do their own contribution out of their own pocket and go open up an account with a bank or a investment advisor and get that done. So you can do it either way.
Okay. Yeah, that's very good advice, because you want to get that, you know, adjusted income as low as you can.
Yeah.
You know, basically. And one other thing, I know that ABC has been doing these tax tips, you know, all month. And one of the things, and you've talked about this before, the state tax, the actual amount went up way up on the federal, but not on the state, right?
Correct. Yeah, state is about the same as it's been, probably in that, and about $2 million area.
Where it's like $25 million or something on the
11
federal.
11-point-something million per person. So a husband and wife have, about $22, $23 million of exemption. So it's the tax side of it from the federal has just about gone away. So now it's about asset management, and it's about transferring assets. On the Minnesota side, there is some tax analysis to do. But there it does come down to the transferring, and the gifting becomes a real strategic thing. And I know we could talk, you know, the rest of the day probably on just that alone. But so there's always these differences you got to worry about in our blessed state of Minnesota and the federal. So
yeah, so it's like you say, it's taking extra time. I mean, there's no question about that, you know, to prepare.
It really is. And I'm not just doing it to get higher fees. I wish I could do them faster. I really do. And again, if we're trying to get to the best answer possible, it's going to take us a little longer this year, actually a lot longer. And this year, we're hoping that it's going to plane out. We don't anticipate a learning curve like this again. But it'll still take time, because you got to go through all the logistics again. And, you know, with the government shutdown and the regulations that came out, we were getting regulations that were, I want to say, mid-January, that were adding clarity to all the questions we had asked back in June that they never got to until January. So we're just trying to recover and learn as fast as we can. You know, that new 109A deduction, which was a very positive deduction, but has a lot of rules to it. Does rentals apply? Yes, it does. No, it doesn't. And then they had to have clarity to, now they've added the safe harbor test with 250 hours. And these are all these things we have to ask our clients, you know, and it just takes time to do it. And we just can't make assumptions. And we're trying to do the right thing and have a quality return and a quality product. So, I mean, that's what it is.
April 15th this year, there's no 17th or whatever.
I know. I wish I had those 2 days, I'll be honest, right now. Yeah.
Do you think a certain percentage will be filing for extensions because of all these different...
I do. And that's, thank you again, another great segue. You know, one, we're behind, but two, there's some things that are still being squared away that we're just not sure. And I think it will pay to extend. And again, you can't extend the payment, so we'll have to do our best case scenario estimate and then, you know, have everybody drop checks in the mail. But yeah, I think, you know, if we historically have extended 10% of our 1040s, it might be 25. I mean, it's going to be significant. And the people who can understand and relate to that and understand why will be better off, I think, at the end of the day to kind of get some of this tax law and the tax software to catch up.
Right. Well, Joel, if people have questions or still would like to get their taxes prepared by a professional like Christensen PLLP, how do they go about it?
Just give us a ring at 320-235-5937, and one of our awesome tax professionals will get a hold of you.
And as you kind of alluded to, too, just plan on bringing all the records you normally would bring. And just to be on the safe side, you can always have, you know, it's nice to have too many things and not be missing a key, piece of...
I always tell my clients, when in doubt, you bring it. Right? I mean, when in doubt, right? Because if if you don't bring it, we don't talk about it, we might miss it. So, yeah, absolutely good advice, Bill.
All right. Well, good to see you, Joel. And
good to see you, Bill.
Let's hope for some spring weather now. And
oh, man, this is something else, isn't it?
This has really been...
Yesterday or Saturday, Sunday was the backbreaker probably. I'm like, man, this stuff is so hard to move. There's so much of it. I don't know. I don't know if I believe the 8 inches that Wilmer got, but or I heard the radio say.
Yeah,
but,
well, I don't know either, because I thought I had about 10 at my
house. For
sure. And yeah, that's what Lloyd said at Atwater, and he said they actually moved it Saturday late, and there was more on the ground again Sunday morning.
Oh,
so
for
he said it came late overnight Saturday night.
Yeah, I think we got about 10 over in Atwater for sure.
And I don't know if have you heard of any roof collapses, because there have been quite a few of these ag buildings in other parts of the state we're in. And I think Eau Claire, Wisconsin's had something like, I think, 50 inches of snow since the 1st of February. And that's where there has been quite a few of these big expanse barns that have
with the big trusses, I suppose. I haven't seen any around Atwater, you know, knock on wood here, but I'm not shocked. That snow was so heavy. Oh, right. Man, I'm still shot today for moving the snow.
Well, I think you'll be happy you did move what you did, though, hopefully.
So, I think so. Very good, Bill.
Well, Joel, thank you so much, and good health to you and yours. And
thank you.
We'll hope for a really good spring, that everything can get planted on time and not have to be mudded in. And
we're a long ways from that, aren't we?
It sure seems like it, yeah.
But things change quick, though.
Yeah, they sure do. Have a good day.
Thanks, Bill.
I can hear the telephone.